dearest mother, I hope this letter finds you well. I wish I could say things have been going well at the video store, but I'd be lying. I'm only 2 episodes into my 4-episode apology tour, and this latest cycle of duty has been the hardest yet. It's true what they say. MASH is hell. I've only been here 25 minutes, but it feels like an eternity. I'm trying my best to follow along with the plot, but I was dropped in the middle of season 6, and I can't escape the sounds of an invisible audience that laughs every time one of the characters makes a wisecrack at an inappropriate moment. I just don't understand. These are surgeons during wartime. What exactly is so damn funny? It's a terrifying and bewildering experience, Mom. One guy keeps putting on increasingly wacky outfits to try to get out of service, but no one's buying it. I have a feeling this bit is going to last another 5 seasons. They told me this is going to be a lighthearted romp, but I've seen people's arms get blown off. People get shot to death, not to mention all this serious adult drama and situations.
Hey, Maggot! Get your ass back in the ISO cube! You've got another episode to watch! This is a 2-parter! You hear me, you scum bucket!
Yes, sir! Right away, sir! Sorry, sir! Well, Mom, I gotta go now. I hear Hawkeye and Hot Lips are finally going to hook up. But I'll have to watch the rest of this 2-parter to find out for sure if it's gonna last, or if they'll just remain really close friends. Your loving son, Dave.
In the not-too-distant future of the neo-post-apocalypse, a group of movie fans, led by their charismatic but oafish leader Dave, brings the lost art of cinema back to the wasteland.
We're about to make each other very happy.
MASH!
Trappers!
How many?
Too many.
Now you can own one of the most beloved TV series of all time.
You're losing him. The hell I am. I'm not going to let somebody screw up my batting average.
They hate me, don't they?
Just your gut, sir.
Those two! They're ruining this war!
Oh, sorry, baby.
Major to you.
Why, sorry, Major, baby.
Follow the 4077 through all 11 seasons.
Rule number one is young men die. Rule number two is doctors can't change rule number one.
All your favorite episodes.
Say, fart face.
Now commercial free.
Fire that weapon.
You're fired.
And ready for duty.
Hey, miss.
Yes?
Oh, MASH on Collector's Edition DVD.
Want to play a little doctor after we finish?
That is all.
All right, welcome to another episode of the David Snyder Apology Tour. once again, just apologizing to everyone out there in the wasteland for a rotten summer of superhero films that nobody wanted or asked for. You know, it turns out doing a whole theme promotion based out of spite, not a good idea. So, again, this is me apologizing for that and letting you guys, when I say you, I mean the employees of the store and its fans, pick what we watch for the
next
month or so.
It's not your fault that Hollywood has failed women superheroes.
No, but it is your fault for giving them a platform.
A platform. A platform after they had long since been died, you know, decades behind us in the past. Anyway, this time we're changing up a little bit. We're talking about a television show, the long-running MASH series, specifically season 6, Comrades in Arms, part 1 and 2. And Jana, this was your pick. And you're kind of, it seems like you're kind of the MASH head here, if that's a term. That
yep. Yeah, I like
Dave,
to MASH head.
Dave, who do we have on the show with us?
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'm joined by Super MASH fan, Jana.
No smiling. Why are you smiling? No, who's smiling? No one's smiling. All right, I'll do it. As long as when I come back, no smiling.
All right, no smiling. And we're also joined by Michael.
Suicide is painless.
I've been humming this whole time.
Dude, that song has been stuck in my head all damn day. I swear. And it's such a, we're season 6 in. I have never seen MASH before, but it's such a somber opening. Both the song and what we're seeing in the opening compared to everything that follows.
The movie is a drama. It's because the movie is very dramatic, whereas the TV show starts out as more of a comedy, and then so throughout the series, Alan Alda gets a lot more influence and power. So as it progresses,
he wrote this episode.
Yeah,
and he directs a lot of the episodes too. So it gets more and more dramatic and has a lot of dramatic moments.
Like this is a thing with MASH that I remember as a kid growing up, like it was in the back, you know, MASH is a famous show, is in the background. And I saw some of it and did like, there was probably like a period where I watched a little bit of it and, you know, I'm definitely familiar with it, but it always like struck me as like a weird vibe as a kid. And I thought like, oh, it's adult. I don't get it. Watching it now as an adult, I stand by. This show is like, this isn't a criticism, but this show has a very weird vibe. Like, it is oscillating between, like, some grim stuff and then, like, the most lighthearted of lighthearted stuff.
Hey, quit smiling.
and we'll get into it, I'm sure, but the first thing I was saying watching this is, like, oh, the laugh track with, like, the single, clearly fake laugh track in a war's, like, you know, in this episode, like, scenes of like bombs going off and people like maybe about to die, and then like studio audience like it's weird. It's a very jarring vibe.
It's because it comes from the earlier seasons where it was almost pure comedy.
It's old, it's like from the early 70s.
The earliest dramatic thing I remember happening in the show, and I think it kind of was a turning point for the show.
Maybe Klinger gets his arm blown off.
No. Do you even know which one Klinger is, Dave? Is when Colonel Blake gets shot down and killed.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. So
who is Colonel Blake?
He's not in. He's
is he dead by now?
Yes, he's dead by now. Oh, okay. He's the original Colonel Potter. So Colonel Potter replaces Blake.
And Colonel Potter is.
Potter is the head honcho of. He's the older guy.
Is he the guy? He's the guy who's like, "You're breaking my balls here. Give me my helicopter back."
He's the dragnet guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The dragnet.
Okay. He's the old guy.
So, he's a great character actor. Yeah.
Oh yeah. He's in a million. Oh my stuff. Gosh. I hope that we get to do a couple more shows at least of MASH, because there's episodes where they all get drunk and stuff like that, and I just remember very vividly drunk Colonel Potter, and it's just
there was drinking in this episode.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, because you know how sometimes characters acting drunk and stuff like that, you're like, that's not really how anybody would act, and I just remember drunk Colonel Potter very, very well, because he does a good job, but it is kind of, you know, it's memorable. Let's just say that. Dave, I think you should say why we picked these episodes. Why we started with season 6.
Why'd you pick these two episodes, and what's your history with MASH, Jana?
I picked these episodes because of memoriam of Loretta Swit. She passed away.
Oh.
And
So is she the main lead, the woman in this?
Yeah, okay. Her name is Margaret Houlihan, and Dave messaged me at the end of the episode and said, so her name is Hot Lips? No, that is not her name.
That's what she's credited as, like, in the synopsis online.
Her name is Margaret. They call her Hot Lips as, like, a sexual. So that's the thing. Sometimes this show does.
Dave, do you think Alan Alda's, like, actual character name, like the human name he has, is Hawkeye?
No, it's just because at the time when I was looking at it, I didn't see Margaret listed anywhere. So I'm like, I guess that's just her name.
And I guess they just her God given name, Hot Lips. Wow.
Oh, yeah, see, that's Margaret over there. We refer to her as Hot Lips.
On account of the Hot Lips.
Everybody has nicknames. They don't call Margaret Hot Lips as much as they call Hawkeye or Radar, Clinger, yeah. You know. So that one's not used quite as much. But, yeah, that's just her nickname. Her name is Margaret Houlihan. And I think that these two episodes were really good to pick for her because only watching these two episodes, you don't get a whole lot of background and history on her character. Her character is the head nurse. She is a career army versus drafting and being drafted into the army. And so she's very strict. She's very no nonsense. She's very... the reason that it's such a big deal that her and Hawkeye get together in this episode is because in the beginning, she's unmarried and she's having an affair with another character, Frank Burns, who, Dave, I think you would really like him. He's probably one of the funniest characters of television history. Wow. And he's married. Then Margaret gets married to Donald, who's the person that wrote her the letter for the other lady.
Do we ever see Donald?
Yeah, we see Donald. Yep. Okay. Yep. Okay. Yep. And so she is not.
Donald does not come off great in this episode.
No, yeah, he's not. He's not super great. She has a bit. She's such a good character because she has a really good character arc. Again, she starts out as a very strict, very no nonsense, but she is having an affair with this married man. Then she gets married and she calls it off. But throughout the entire series, she's not promiscuous. She's very strict, very stern. Outside of her affair with Frank, you know, she is with Frank and then gets married, and then that's it. So her and Hawkeye getting together, because Hawkeye is a ladies' man. Hawkeye is a male slut.
Well, I mean, everyone in this camp is just like, one question I had, I mean, just to jump ahead, I guess, like, why does everyone have these robes? Like, what is and what is not allowed in the army?
I think a lot of it is because, like, a lot of this episode is taking place late at night. That's what I thought was, like, so they're just, like, in their, like, pajamas?
Yeah, that's their downtime.
But they're allowed to bring pajamas like that?
That's their downtime in their tent. So they're doctors. They're not regular army. MASH stands for Mobile Army Surgical Hospital. So they're
AKA the Truckle Hut, because everyone be laughing. Everyone be laughing at MASH.
They're a hospital, so if they don't have patients or whatever, like they're on downtime. And I mean, you saw his distillery.
Yeah. Well, they all have like Hawaiian shirts on, and they're not wearing their robes or their what you call them? There's a term for
kimono.
Scrubs. Not scrubs, army fatigues.
Oh, what? They're fatigued. Yeah. So that's why, because they're a hospital. So if they don't have patients and stuff like that, I mean, they're not fighting or anything like that.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm no Superman, as the song says.
Yeah, it's funny that you're
the song in Scrubs, you see.
I am rewatching Scrubs also, and...
I just love medical shows.
I do think that there is something to be said. I think that is, you know, it was jarring for you guys because you came into season 6. If you had started
One thing I noticed, like, they weren't, like, and I don't expect them to this far into the show, mind you, but they, like if it wasn't for cultural osmosis, like, I would have been asking questions like, why is this guy dressed as a maid? Like, what? Stuff like that. But by cultural osmosis alone, like, there are some things I know about MASH. Like, there's a few characters, Klinger specifically, that, like, they just want to be, they want to get out of here.
Yeah.
That's like their whole goal, and it's like someone trying to get on jury duty.
So Klinger is dressing like a woman just because he wants to like be declared insane and leave. That's his whole bit. Yes. Why does he keep doing it? Because it's clearly not working after six seasons.
Yeah,
like why hasn't he changed it up?
He does start. I absolutely adore Klinger.
Is there any part of it that, like, do they ever get into, like, is Klinger into this? Like, does he like?
Yes. So he does kind of start. I mean, he makes jokes about, like, wearing that color or that color. That clashes, you know, and not in a disrespectful, like, oh.
It was like, very, amongst the, like, jarring things of seeing this, like, it was... odd to see a show from like the 70s where like there's a guy wearing women's clothing and like no one's talking, like no one is saying anything about it. Like, I would have expected, you know, obviously I don't know how they handled this issue, but it was wild to see him just existing like that and not like every line be like, you know, why don't you get those panties in a bunch, Klinger? You know, like, I'm sure there's lines like that in the show, but like,
there are some, yeah.
But you would expect it to be like every line or something.
Yeah.
And that's why, again, you know, it would be, I would encourage you guys to go back and watch more of the show because it's a really, really, really good show. But yes, Klinger does, his character does, you know, he does it for so long that he starts actually emulating, like, oh, I have to go buy more nylons, or oh, I would love to buy that those pairs of shoes, but they're way out of my price range, you know, stuff like that.
I just imagine at some point he goes crazy, it's not working, and he just grabs someone and takes them hostage, like, I'm getting out of here.
That might happen. I mean, there's so many seasons that it's kind of hard to remember every single episode. That might happen. And there actually is, I believe, an episode or maybe an episode arc where he stops doing it, and then they're like, oh wow, he may have actually gone crazy, this may have actually destroyed him and turned him crazy. So kind of interesting play on the plot there, where they use him stopping doing it as possibly one of the reasons to.
I just imagine Klinger like going crazy and they have to shoot him, and it's like the scene from Platoon where he's like, it's like Klinger, you know, the Platoon pose.
Well, and he doesn't always wear women's clothes. He also wears fatigues and stuff like that too.
Yes, it's the Platoon pose, only Klinger's wearing a maid outfit.
What did you guys think of Houlihan? What did you think of Loretta Swit's acting? That's another reason why I wanted to pick this.
I thought her acting was good, like really good. And I thought that
Margaret.
I think Alan Alda has some issues with women based on him writing this episode and her character.
I'm sorry. Again, this is my first exposure to MASH, actually seeing an episode, not just cultural osmosis. And holy hell, she's just like, we gotta get out of here.
Yeah.
You know, she's written as that the quiet character who goes crazy. Like, that's kind of the vibe she's giving.
Well, I think she's like, I think she's kind of written, especially in more so in the first part one, when they're like in the shit. I think that she like,
it's such a funny thing to say in the shit for MASH, but technically they are in the shit.
Yeah, they're getting bombed in a war zone by the North Koreans, Dave.
I
feel like she, it's like frustrating because I feel like she's like written to be like a foil for Alan Alda's character kind of at first in that moment. Like, she's very like nag, nag, nag. That's what I was thinking of.
That's her. So again, if you haven't seen any of the,
I'm sure the context would help. And I do think that the character like comes by the end of it. I think there's like kind of a nice bow that they put on everything. I love like how she handles the letter she received, like the that whole arc, like the whole what the letter was, and then how she responded to it, I thought was all like interesting. None of it was really what I was expecting. Like I was expecting that letter to be like someone's dead or, you know, I don't know. Like, but the idea that it's like a love letter that the guy, like, it's like a sext he sent to the wrong number, basically, is like, that was really,
I've done that one too many times.
I didn't see that coming. And then the fact that she like sends something back, but then it's like, and the way that like she and Alan Alda's character Hawkeye both kind of like grow from the experience, I really like that. I like where it went and stuff. So it was I kind of like the show, I guess. Like it was kind of like, I think it was like uneven in a lot of like a product of the time, like the nag, you know, is maybe the laugh track. You know, like, because like clearly if the show were made today, it wouldn't have a laugh track in it. It was made, it had a laugh track in it because that's what everyone probably expected.
That's what threw me, because you're used to laugh tracks being associated with shows that on a set, you know what I mean? Like you go, we're going to go watch MASH in studio, you know what I mean? But no, it threw me. Like there was a scene when Hawkeye and Margaret are driving to this other camp that they're going to, that's the plot of the episode. They have like this experimental or this technique that they're going to show this other camp, and they're driving over there. And when they get over there, it turns out they've moved on and this communication has not been sent to MASH.
Cause they've been taken over, but like the enemy line is advanced and now they're behind enemy lines.
Oh man, we're behind enemy lines. This is crazy. This never happens on the show. And so they're behind enemy lines and they got
it. What is this voice? Where did this voice come from?
Yeah, what is that? What is that voice? And like, is the idea that Alan Alda is saying, like, this has never happened on the show before?
Yeah, and I should know. I'm writing this episode. I figured I'd try something different.
I don't know if that's an Alan Alda name,
Michael. We got to try something new.
I think I can see where an Alan Alda could come from that, but I think you need to put that back in the hopper for a bit, Dave. Let that cook. I don't think it's quite done.
Give me a break. This is after only having seen one episode of the show.
It's like an old prospector, Alan Alda.
Hey, I'm Alan Alda here.
Well, I take offense to that.
Well, I just like getting to a pirate now.
Prospector character.
Well, hold on now, see?
And that Alan Alda thing sounds nothing like me. In fact, my prospector voice has changed in the last 10 seconds I've been doing it.
See, that is super old prospector. So the 4077, which is their MASH unit, is the best MASH unit in the war. They have like a 97% survival rate for patients that come to there.
And they save everybody. That was one cool thing I thought about Hawkeye's character. Like, there are two times in this episode when he sees someone on the other side who's like hurting or about to die. North Koreans. And he's just like, well, I gotta help that guy. You know, he doesn't think about it. He's just like, I gotta help that
Blood
guy.
Blood bleeds the same. Or something like
that.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's not my Alan Alda, by the way.
That's like a Rambo Alan Alda.
Yeah. That's Jesse Ventura from Predator as Alan Alda.
If it bleeds,
took a Hippocratic oath, brother.
If it bleeds, I can put a bandage on it.
Well, I think that's another reason why making them surgeons and nurses at a hospital really works for the everyman and human aspect of the show, because that's the other thing about Scrubs, right? Like you brought up Scrubs earlier. I am also currently watching Scrubs, and I think I was seeing a lot of similarities between the comedy and the drama in Scrubs in MASH.
That's that's a good pull, because it's like a similar mix of like comedy but also real intense stuff. But there's no laugh track in Scrubs, right?
No. Just the laugh track of me sitting there watching the episodes laughing to myself.
I remember one thing I remember, this is kind of a tangent, but one thing I remember big from Scrubs was, I think it was like the pilot when Zach Braff is like getting to know all the characters at this hospital, and he's like afraid of like John McGinley's character. I forget the character's name, but he's like this real heart.
Dr. Cox, yeah.
Dr. Cox. He's really afraid of Dr. Cox because he's his hard ass. But then at the end of the episode, someone's brought in and he's like, hey, rookie, like, look at me. Like, you're going to be fine.
Let's he does one of his Dr. Cox-like speeches. Well, listen here.
Well, he's like a hard ass the whole episode, but then when shit gets real, it's like, hey, we're both here together. We can save this guy's life. Like, look at me. Like, you can do this. He's not giving him a hard time. He's like giving him like a good.
Well, something I think that this episode gets into with like Alan Alda's character Hawkeye is like that a lot of that is a front and a shell put up to cover their own feelings of doubt.
He's the best surgeon. So he is a captain. And in the first few seasons, Frank Burns is a major, which is higher than a captain. And Frank Burns is also a doctor.
Not when I'm writing the episode. When I'm writing the episode, I'm in charge, okay?
Is that Colonel Potter?
Hey, I'd like to point out my Alan Alda impression has been consistent this whole episode, it's not good.
Okay. Hey, guys, it's Alan Alda here. I'm down from the mountain yonder prospecting up, finding me some medical supplies. Woo-wee!
And so even though there are characters who are higher rank than him, he is the chief surgeon. So in surgery, Hawkeye is in charge. He is in charge of everybody. And so it's interesting because there's that dynamic also that outside of work, I mean, like, even, you know, Houlihan says it in this episode. She's like, do you ever stop making jokes? And she's like, do you know how hard it is to laugh at everything you say? And da, 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 da. But in surgery, he is very serious and a consummate professional. And he still makes jokes and stuff when they're doing surgery and everything like that. But he is the best surgeon.
And that was really, like, one thing that took me watching this episode. Usually with TV shows, there's an A and a B plot, usually. You know, you got your main characters doing your thing, and you got some side characters doing their thing. And you kind of get that in this episode. It's like the B characters are trying to find them. It's like, oh, we're going to steal this helicopter. Or we're not stealing.
Pretty connected, though. I mean, the B plot is just another view of the same plot. Like, it's the same thing. Like, it's not quite an A-B thing going on here.
Yeah.
Because Hawkeye and, oh my gosh, Houlihan are behind enemy lines, and the B plot is just the people back at home trying to find him, you know?
Yeah.
That is why I think, again, that element of, and you know, when I was growing up and watching, my mom loves this show. That's how I know it so well. I was just like, how could anybody grow up with this show and still ever want to start a war anywhere?
Well, I kind of wanted to get back to that. So how did you kind of get into this show growing up, Jana? Was it just something your mom watched and you watched with her?
Yeah.
Is it while you were planning a war?
And then you're like, wait a minute.
Well, and so just to really quickly close the thread of
the moment I saw Klinger get gunned down in the last episode of the show, it made me realize warmongering is not good.
But it can be profitable. Going back to him wanting to help the North Korean, like, this show does a very good job of showing the fact that everybody is human.
We all bleed, like, as Jesse Ventura said.
Exactly. So, but yeah, my mom was a huge, huge, huge fan, and so we watched a lot when we were younger. And then in high school, it would play on reruns, probably on what is now like MeTV or whatever. I can't remember what it was back then. And so we would, you know, at 9 o'clock at night, we would watch the two episodes.
TV Land?
Yeah, maybe.
I think that's where I watched this, or like Nick at Night or TV Land, one of those.
But this was on regular Channel 3,
at least in Arizona. Channel 3. This was a show that ran in syndication still, I'm sure, forever. This was a show I always saw the end of it. That's why I've always known this song. And like Mike said, it was kind of like, oh, what's this like serious drama? Like, where's Star Trek The Next Generation? I want to watch Star Trek.
Or The Simpsons.
Or Simpsons, yes. It was always, MASH was always a show that was on before the show I wanted to watch.
It's such a good show. It's so funny. But yeah, so that's my history with it. That's how I know it so well, is because I watched it with her.
Was it, how many seasons are there of MASH?
Oh, gosh. What is there? 9 or something?
Oh,
like
that's
that?
It? I thought it'd be double digits.
I don't want to get it mixed up with Cheers and Frasier, because we've been talking about that a lot lately.
Looks like there are 11 seasons of MASH.
Wow, there are also 11 for Cheers and Frasier.
It lasted for basically 10 years, 72 to 82.
Yeah.
This was in the 80s?
Like, the show's old. Like that, I feel like that's something I keep like thinking of. Like, well, it's just for like, I'm trying to think of like other TV shows that are that old. That, you know, like this does stand up pretty well for being... Like, it feels like a show from the 80s to me, not a show from the 70s. Like, what we watched was, like, 1976, I think, something around there, 77, 78, maybe, which is, like, I don't know. I'm just trying to think of, like, other TV from around then and you know, not as much, like, holds up at all. So for this to, like, hold up as well as it does, rough edges aside, I think is impressive.
And I think the rough edges... maybe come from more from if I would be curious to know what you guys think if you started from episode one and watched through.
Yeah, more context for Houlihan's character would help, but some of the stuff I wonder, like, I don't know if the laugh track would get better or not, like, for me, because that's like, it's just weird. It's just a time and place thing, you know.
You must just watched that many old shows because I don't even notice laughter. I've watched so much.
I remember back when like How I Met Your Mother came on, I never got into that show, and I think it was because of the laugh track. Like I couldn't.
Interesting.
Maybe I'm just like prone to the laugh track, especially is like
maybe.
It's just like
the laugh track. Isn't the laugh track kind of a holdover from like old like dawn of television?
That's what I assumed. I assumed so that like people they put it in there because it's just that's what people would expect because like everything was live, and so it had it, and so like maybe it was unusual to have non-live TV, and they're like, we don't want it to be boring, or, you know, people think it's all serious, or maybe they thought people were too dumb to get all these like fast paced jokes.
Well, I mean, Hawkeye is literally doing like a joke a minute, so
yeah, and it's good. Like I think the writing is definitely like snappy, you know. It reminds me of like more modern, like snappy dialogue stuff, like Aaron Sorkin-y kind of stuff.
Oh my god, Mike, did you just put an Aaron Sorkin MASH remake into the holy shit. Oh my god.
The West MASH.
Holy shit. Where is the crowdfunding for that?
Who would be Alan Alda's character? Like, who would be Hawkeye, though? Alan Alda is such a, like, specific guy.
There's tons of people that could do that snappy humor these days.
Who's really tall and skinny?
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader actually would.
He does an Alan Alda impression.
And he's really good at, like, Barry's a great drama, but also comedy.
Yes, yeah.
All right, now you sold me.
Yep. Yep.
He's all also right. A writer and director himself.
Let's do it. Let's
yeah,
get
have
this
it directed lead. By Bill Hader. Don't let Aaron Sorkin direct it. He can write it.
They would be moving that hospital every episode if Aaron Sorkin was directing it, because he'd be like, "We got to do the walk and talk. Move the hospital."
Yeah, that hospital would just be like so many hallways. They'd zoom out and just be like a long like one barracks.
It would just be like a big circle, so that they can just keep walking.
The Apple headquarters.
You were asking me like because we all watched this in our ISO booths and you kept messaging me like, are you crying yet, Dave?
Yes.
And no, this episode did not make me cry. I will say that my heartstrings were pulled at the end when she writes, I was curious,
Jenna, so when you were asking Dave like, did you cry, what because I have some guesses, but I'm wondering like what specific moments or beats of this show did you think could potentially make the waterworks flow for Dave?
The end.
So the end, do you mean like when they're doing the kind of like making up thing and they're like reading
they've
the
been
letters?
Rescued from behind. Because
that wouldn't have been a sad cry, right? That would have been a like this is sweet cry.
Right. Particularly when she says you've helped me that next time I'm in trouble, maybe I'll reach out to somebody for help again.
Mm. Yeah. And that did pull on my heartstrings. It didn't make me cry. I think the reason being, because we're jumping in yes. season six, yeah. you know, and again, I have no exposure to these characters right. other than just cultural osmosis. So had I been watching this show from season one, it might have been different. The Waterworks.
And Houlihan is not a character you've probably, I haven't culturally osmosed anything. Right. I've seen a bunch of episodes, but I don't remember her at all. Like, you know,
like I'm more aware of Hawkeye and Klinger.
Well, I saw him when I was like a kid. So I mean, I haven't seen it for like 20 years.
Well, to Mike's point, like by the cultural osmosis, I'm not aware of what her ticks are as a character.
True.
What makes
yes.
her unique.
Yes.
You know what
yes.
I mean? Hawkeye yes. is pretty big, and so is Klinger. Like those are kind of the two big ones. Like I know the faces, mm-hmm. but I don't know like the quirks attached
to. I'll say like I didn't cry, but like as. You know, I kind of talked about maybe like some criticisms or whatever with her, whatever her character, but there's definitely, you know, something to this show. And like when it ends, like that ending scene is really, really good.
It
and it
good.
Is, it yeah. is like, I could
she's
see
the letter to what's his face?
Donald.
Well, so
Donald.
What? Did, yeah, what's
and she's
the...
gonna do? She's gonna do the same thing he did to her. Like she's gonna send him a letter that was meant for someone else, and
for
really
to,
the letter
dear
she's
Hank.
Writing.
Yeah,
dear Hank.
Yeah, dear Hank. Yeah, she makes up a name, Hank, but she's writing about her experience with Hawkeye.
Yeah,
and like reads it to Hawkeye, and they don't say anything. You know, it's very adult.
Yeah.
Like it's all
yeah,
just like very
good. No laugh track here, by the way.
Oh yeah. Dear Hank, bah! but then that like sparks like a bit of a. It doesn't just end there. There's like a bit of a back and forth where Hawkeye is like kind of it. You know, he's basically in so many words being like, "I'm sorry, I was kind of shitty about this," and
yeah.
she's like, "I'm sorry, I was kind of shitty about this." But then they're also both like, "I think I'm gonna mm-hmm. like." I think I learned X, Y, and Z from this.
Yeah.
And then she's
yeah.
like, I think I learned X, Y, and Z from this. And they like, you know, they don't literally do this, but they sort of like shake hands and like coworkers, you know? And it's like,
he says, I think we can be friends.
Right. Yeah. Right. But they're not like, they're not going to be in a relationship, but they're also not going to be like bickering at each other. Like their relationship is good and maybe better than it was before. And they're more connected. And it just felt, the whole thing felt very adult. Like this is what I was thinking of is like, you know, when a show is rated, like this is rated PG-13 for adult situations. Like this is an adult situation. This is an actual adult situation that's happening right now.
This is an adult situation that 12-year-old Mike would have been like, oh, I'm not old enough for this.
Boring.
Yeah, this is a boring adult situation.
Yes.
No, I want to see the adult situation where someone's buying cocaine. That's an adult situation.
I got the sense, again, I'm going into this with, as Mike kind of hinted at earlier, these are old shows, you know, and a lot of old shows, a lot of shows from like anything pre-70s or really 70s, like it again, it's a time and place, and it's kind of like some of those shows can be a little hard to watch. Like I'm not going to be watching Leave It to Beaver. I'm not going to get anything from Leave It to Beaver.
You don't know that until you've tried it.
True.
I mean, it's at least,
I get the sense.
It's at least half a century old. Like,
yeah, but I guess, and again, like you said, time and place, but I get a sense that, again, I say this not having seen a lot of shows in this period, but I get a sense that I'm wondering if the reason MASH was so popular and endured for so long, again, you mentioned it was on for like a decade or more, I wonder if it's because this show kind of had those more adult moments, they blended the comedy, and it makes me wonder if there wasn't much else on TV like it doing the things that MASH was doing.
I think
well,
you forget,
so
like...
I think,
oh, go ahead, Jana.
I mean, as the resident old show expert, because yeah, I used to watch Nick at Night and stuff like that with my mom all the time. I'm thinking of, like, Archie Bunker for...
That was another big one, All in the Family.
Yeah, so it wasn't... They didn't have as much drama, but there were a couple of moments of drama in those, even though... What was that, from the 50s? Where I think doesn't his wife pass away or something. Like, it might even be the last episode. But so, yeah. So, yes, I agree that I do think.
Well,
though,
the 70s were a big turning point, too, to be fair.
Yeah. But I think you're right. You're probably right. I mean, I Love Lucy didn't really have, I can't remember any drama in I Love Lucy. You know, so
yeah, it's
how's she gonna stop the chocolates? They're getting off the there's so many chocolates on the conveyor belt.
Yeah, there's no scene where Desi Arnaz is gonna be like, maybe we could be friends, Lucy.
Right. So yes, you probably are correct where that this was the turn, this the maybe even the 60s, maybe the later 60s and the 70s is where we really started getting, because like I said, with MASH, even the first like maybe 1, 2, 3 seasons were mostly comedy, and then it became much more of almost 50-50.
Yeah,
I would say.
Well, I imagine like some of the popularity is like, I'm thinking too, like something I always forget, and then when I think about it, it like blows my mind, is like they didn't really have like VHS and VCRs back then, or like the idea of movies weren't really like movies at home weren't really like a thing. So like, I feel like there's a bit of like, you take what you can get with high production value TV. So like, just the fact that this is, especially for the time, like looks good and there's like stuff going on, like thrilling things, you know, is probably like, in a world where you can't watch movies at home, there's maybe some appeal to that that you don't get nowadays.
It's not saying much, but I was honestly, again, just based on what I know from TV this time, like it was honestly surprising to me that they put a camera on a Jeep and they're like driving around outside, like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, usually you'd think it would be just like they're in like a studio and they're like, there's like a projection screen behind them, and there's, and it's like, you know, the typical thing, like this camera's right in
front
of
them. They're out in like Runyon Canyon, North Korea.
Yeah.
this is definitely like one of those, like the Star Trek,
you know, like he's like comically like driving this car, like, you know, like TV driving, where like he's like pulling the steering wheel left and right in an unrealistic way. But you don't see that here.
Well, no, it looked good.
Not an F1 driver.
I have seen.
Well, you know what I mean.
I have seen
TV driving.
I have seen several James Bond movies where the driving looked worse than the driving in this.
Would you guys like to hear? I don't know if you know this statistic, so let's see your reactions. The last episode of MASH titled Goodbye, Farewell, and Amen had approximately 106 million viewers.
That's insane. That's just everyone.
The most watched episode of a television series in U.S. history.
I knew it was a lot, or I knew it was like the most watched whatever, but I didn't know 106 million.
It's not adjusted for inflation when they say the most watched.
I don't think you can adjust that for inflation, though.
I
mean,
so
like,
either.
The
you
people
can't,
are still.
You can't just adjust everything
people.
For inflation, people.
It's not money. You can't. Well, I think the only thing you would adjust for is, like, they have, where there's more channels now, there's, like, there's never going to be 106 million people watching the same thing.
Well, that's a good point. But I think what they're doing is because it's. They can't tell how many people are watching it. What they can do is tell percentage of TVs, I think, viewed. Into like tuned into it, I think is how they do it.
Yeah.
So based off of inflation would be, well, the population was lower at the time, maybe there weren't as many TVs at the time, you know, whatever. Which
there's a lot of moms that are doing laundry at the same time and kind of half watching, you know, how do you gauge that?
I don't think anybody was half watching the last episode of MASH when it aired, Dave. But I think everybody was locked in. I think that speaks to, again, how popular the TV show was, but yes, you know, everything that you guys were saying as well, where there wasn't as much on TV at the time, there wasn't as much with the production value on TV at the time. It's never something like that, Mike. I totally agree. It's never going to happen again.
Yeah,
because
there's just too many options out there.
Yeah,
for people's attention. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I will say I didn't cry, and it wasn't like a laugh a minute for me. Like, you know,
this
wasn't
the funniest episode. No.
Yeah, I think the funniest interaction was probably when their Jeep breaks down and they're trying to fix it, and he starts kicking it, and then she kicks it. He's like, "I tried that already." You know, the back and forth was kind of fun, but it would be interesting to start this from the beginning and see like the more comedy heavy episodes, and to see like the transition from kind of comedy to sort of a blend of comedy and drama.
Well, this was particularly an episode to showcase Loretta Swit in memoriam for her.
Yeah.
My favorite character is Honeycutt, who I don't even know if you guys would know who that is because he was not in the episode a ton. Do you guys know who Honeycutt is?
No.
Is Honeycutt the preacher guy?
No, that's Father Mulcahy.
Okay.
Honeycutt is his tent mate, the one at the end who he's talking to, who says,
"Oh,
go talk to her."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, were all the MASH characters, maybe they didn't have a big moment, but were they all here in this episode?
Radar is not in it.
Okay. I've heard that name before, Radar.
Radar is, he's supposed to be like 19 or 20 or something. Like, he's supposed to be very, he doesn't even drink. He drinks Great Mihai's, which I think is a soda. And so, but he's like the heart kind of the show. He's like the
Is he like the viewer kind of insert in a way, maybe?
He's like the
Is he gonna die? Is he gonna get killed? That's what
he
I imagine
not
is
die. He doesn't
Oh,
die.
Okay.
He's like
I was thinking the same thing, Mike.
He's like the Lassie of the TV show. He's the dog. He's the one
Lassie died.
He doesn't die. He's the one that everybody likes, everybody kinda takes care of, everybody kinda babies.
Oh, so he's kinda like the Mike of the show.
Yes, Mike, now enjoy your Great Mihai. So he's not it, and he is a big, huge character, you know, like I said, kind of like he becomes sort of like the heart of the show. He's not on through the run. He does go home at some point. But yeah, he's a huge character, and he's not in it. And then Colonel Potter, Honeycutt, Klinger, and then the, British guy is Major Winchester, and he replaces Frank Burns.
Okay. And he also wants to transfer out of this unit, right?
No, he's, nobody wants to transfer out of the unit. They just want to leave. Some of them are career people. Colonel Potter is a career army. Houlihan is career. Frank Burns was career. But the people who are drafted just want out of the
They
want to
go home.
They want to be home.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they want to be home.
Gotcha. All right, well, yeah, I'm not opposed to coming back to MASH, maybe watching, like, the pilot or something.
I'd love for you guys to see
it. I love this series of Jana's old TV shows. What did we do? Quantum Leap.
Well, Quantum Leap, we got to come back to, because that we wanted to make that kind of an ongoing thing.
True. Quantum Leap was
Did he ever leap into MASH? Did he ever leap into...
Well, he's leaped into several army people.
Y'all yeah, why not? That would have been a good crossover.
But yeah, I would love for you guys to... I would love to know what your opinions are on Frank. They call him Ferret Face, so that gives you a.
If we do this again, you got to pick a good episode. Like I feel like you have to pick the episodes here because there's so much MASH and I wouldn't know, like I would probably just go like the pilot or the last episode. Like I don't know.
I always hesitate to ever start with a pilot because pilots, you know, they can be so rough. And sometimes
they need time to figure stuff out.
Yeah, like the pilot of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Willow's not even the same actress. She's completely different. So yeah, I hesitate to ever start with a pilot, but I do kind of feel like getting a couple more episodes under your guys' belt so that you can understand the characters a little bit better. I just thought that this one would be the best one to showcase because she doesn't get a ton to do. She is one of the main characters, and maybe this speaks to the time also, especially an ensemble cast. Because even though Hawkeye is the main character and you know becomes the main, it is still an ensemble cast. So, and she's the only really female in the ensemble cast. So in most of the episodes, you know, it's more playing off of the sexual jokes about her, which is where Hot Lips comes from. So it's, this gave her a little bit more characterization than she had gotten in the previous six seasons.
Well, if this show taught me anything, is that the Korean War lasted for 11 years. so there's plenty of episodes to choose from for some comedy. So I think we can come back to MASH at some point in the future.
Yes.
We still need to, but before that, we need to leap back into Quantum Leap because we said that was going to be a thing. We haven't leaped yet. Mike, Jana, I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't leaped into another Quantum Leap episode yet. You got to help
Dave,
me.
Dave, maybe for this like listener redemption arc, we could end with a leap.
Ooh.
Okay. I mean, you
have
know.
To pick another one, Jana.
Just put it on the.
I pick another one.
Jana, tell us where we're going.
I love Quantum Leap. You're the, but I think it's undeniable. You're the biggest leap head.
Who's the guy? Like, the guy with the thing.
Al.
Yeah, you're our Al.
The sexy
Jana.
Guy we were talking about on that episode.
Yeah, you're our sexy guy, sexy Al, one. Jana.
Touch on
you're always wearing those cool ties and chomping on cigars, and you got your doohickey, and you're such a ladies' man. There's always like a new woman of the week
episode,
with you.
I was uncomfortable because Jana was like, "Look at Hot Lips over there,
yeah, Hot Lips Houlihan, am I right?"
Every ladies' man has to
more like Hot Lips Hula. Yes,
for Al, it's his like. Suit sort of thing, and for Hawkeye, it's Hawaiian shirts.
These are the most attractive outfits a man can wear.
Isn't that so funny? Could you just like so? Alan Alda is a very handsome man, but it's very funny that Hawkeye is like the ladies' man, and then Al is the ladies' man. And
I mean, let's be real. Like Alan Alda is hot because of how he carries himself and like his personality, like. Mm. I don't think, like, if you just saw, like, a hunched over, like, lanky dude, he could... I don't think you would take for granted that this man would read as hot. I think it's because he's, like, a very charismatic person.
I always thought that Honeycutt was the best-looking one. And again, you guys probably don't even remember who he is, but...
You probably don't even remember who Honeycutt was.
You don't even remember Honeycutt was. character. But, yes, I think he does have a charisma about him. I've just never been somebody that... went for the ladies men type of dudes.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
Well, all right. That'll do it for another episode of Dave's Apology Tour.
Rest in peace, Loretta Swit.
Yeah, for sure. Rest in peace. And we'll come back to MASH at some point in the future, I think.
I really need to know what you think of Frank Burr.
Well, when we return, we'll be coming back with, and Jana, you'll be coming with us. We're going to be leaving the MASH unit, and we're going to be going in to the Sisterhood. That's right. When we return with Dave's Apology Tour, we'll be watching Sister Act.
Hallelujah!
Join us, folks. We'll see you in church.